fam, welcome to All Nations Baton Rouge Podcast, where we exist to help you find family, discover purpose, and change the world. Here's this week's message. I hope it is a blessing to you and your family. Here we go. Here we go.
You know, your pastor's going to be your pastor, amen. So I brought Ratchet to New Orleans, amen. I did. You know, I brought Petty there. I introduced the concept. I call it treaching because I was supposed to talk the vision. And I end up preaching that thing, amen. And I tell you what, I might have to bring that message here because sometimes you hear us talk about the vision here. Find family, discover purpose, change the world. And that sounds cute, but I want you to know that that was always God's plan for everybody he created. And we went in the word of God. I ain't going to tell you too much, but just know we parallel the life of Adam and Jesus to show that the process that God moved through is finding family, discovering purpose, and changing the world. And so while that might sound cute, what we're actually executing here every week, every day, every hour, every minute is God's plan. Amen. So I'm going to jump into the word. I realize that we have not done the offering yet. We'll do it at the end. Amen. This is God's plan. Glory to God. But today, with Medea Christmas being the backdrop of today's message in Christmas at the Movies, I hope y'all got your popcorn on the way in. You got your drinks. If not, somebody will bring some around. You know, I know y'all, people really look forward to this series just so they can eat popcorn in church. Some of y'all woke up this morning, you was like, I don't know, I'm tired. I don't know if I quite feel like it. Oh, but they're going to have popcorn in church today. I think I'll make it there. So we want to make sure you got your popcorn and your drinks so that you can enjoy your movie experience. But today we want to talk a bit about courage for the holidays. And I believe that there are some things that you need to get the courage to do in this season. A lot of times when we get into the holiday season, you know, there can be a time that people struggle emotionally. Everybody's not happy in the holiday season because there are a number of different factors that can make it challenging. Maybe it's the lack of financial resources that makes it challenging. Maybe it's relational turmoil that makes it challenging. But there could be things that come in that cause your holiday season to be inflicted with anxiety and frustration and all of those things. And so we want to make sure that we're ministering to your soul in this month so that you can be successful navigating a season that becomes difficult for many. In fact, in the time period between Thanksgiving and Christmas, it is the highest suicide rate. It's when more people decide to give up. A time of year that many of us are jolly and happy, a lot of people are choosing to give up, to give in, and we want to make sure that you're not in this room, right? Those of you in this room, we want to give you some hope to keep going. Can we do that? Can you look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, we want to give you a little hope. Now, I'm not going to make you talk to your neighbor all day, but a little secret that I told New Orleans. I told him, I said, I like people to talk to me, all right? And when people talk back to me, I don't have to make them talk to each other. But when they're not talking back to me, you will talk to each other. Talking is going to happen in the room, amen? Now, you choose how you want to talk today, right? The introverts will be saying amen more than they've ever said before because they don't want to turn to their neighbor, even if they found family. They just say, look, we fam, but I don't want to talk to you. And I apologize in advance for the neighbor that forgot to put a mint in their mouth this morning, amen? Amen. Y'all know it. Sometimes you sit next to that one like, oh, I got the wrong person. The most miserable thing is to get next to somebody on the plane that stink. Amen. You just isolated. Especially when it's about to take off and they turn that air off. It's like, listen, we need something to be moving up in here. I also get mad at the bold people that get on the plane and decide that they can pass gas because nobody's going to know. They get all kind of courage for the holidays that they didn't need to. But I want to jump into this message today, and I want to start with this scripture. And then we utilize this scripture, I think, even on last week. But in 2 Timothy, the first chapter, verse 7, it says, for God has not given us what? A spirit of fear, but a what? And of a? We know this scripture. We quote it. We talk about it over and over again. Yet and still, we get into situations where we allow fear to become our master. And even though we know that God has given us this faith, He's given us this power, He's given us this ability to overcome the enemy, when the enemy shows up, at times, the enemy allows us to give ourselves this sense of a lack of perception or the proper perspective regarding our circumstance, and fear becomes the master. And before we know it, in places that we should be courageous, we're actually causing chaos in our lives because we're wanting to run away, right? Instead of engaging God to help us. Courage is defined several ways. It's the quality of mind or spirit that enables a person to face what? Difficulty, danger, pain, a host of other things without what? Courage is also defined as bravery. When I have courage, my mind and my spirit receives a certain deposit of faith and confidence that allows me to look at difficulty and danger and square off with it, right? To overcome it. When I have courage, pain does not control me, but I tell pain what it's going to do. The power or quality of dealing with or facing danger, fear, pain, etc. When you're looking at courage, it's the power to deal with. The quality of dealing with. Because some of y'all, yeah, you know, you decide to deal with it, but then you're not really like dealing with it the right way, because you could tell when somebody is really allowing fear to direct them in how they deal with something. Now, it's okay to do it scared, but do it with the wisdom of God too. It's not okay to do it scared when you're not doing what God said. Do it how God said, even if you're scared. Do it how God said, even if you're scared. Don't adjust the plan of God. Don't alter the hand of God. Do it how God said to do it. Life requires courage in a variety of different ways. We need courage to start a new career, right? We need courage to get married. We need courage to raise a family. We definitely need courage when we're parenting kids. Amen. Every day is a scary situation. What we gonna get today? What we gonna send them out to today? A world that we are allowing to evolve, that we're not allowing ourselves to evolve. So we let the world take shape instead of shaping the world. See, find family, discover purpose, change the world. That's a big, audacious statement, but it's something that we have to take the responsibility for. Am I going to allow the world to dictate to me what it's going to do, or am I going to dictate what the world is going to do? I'm going to be active in making the transformation, designing the culture, and building the atmosphere that my children and their children and their children, grandchildren will live in. One thing I said, and I know we're going to get back into this. One thing I said even before we started this church, I said I didn't want a church adapting the culture. I wanted a church that's going to shape the culture. It's two different things. We don't spend a lot of time adapting the culture over here. We don't spend a lot of time considering, like, we consider what's happening because we know people live in culture. But what I'm saying is we don't spend time focused on what everybody else is doing, how they're doing, how we don't care. God, what have you said? Whatever you said, we will do. And what you're speaking to us is something you want to shape the culture, and we are responsible for doing that. So we know that we are the salt of the earth. When we enter into the atmosphere, then flavor that was not there comes because we are there. Something should change when you enter the atmosphere. When courageous people step into a territory, they have a confidence and a swag about themselves that people know that they have shown up. I can tell you this, when we walked in on Thursday night, we showed up like we belonged there. We didn't tiptoe in. Let's just see if this is going to work. No, we came with an assignment from God. Now, did the enemy come with anxiety? Sure did. Did the enemy come with feelings of doubt? Sure did. Did the enemy come with warfare? Sure did. Did he win? Okay. Ooh. Who is that that want the mic to come sing up here this morning? Was that Will? Vivica say, please don't give him the mic, Pastor. Many of y'all in the room say, please don't, Pastor. We don't want a comedy show today. We want the Holy Spirit. I'm sorry, Will. Courage is important to the holidays also because the holidays brings us a lot of times face to face with situations and circumstances where we have chosen fear instead of courage. A lot of times when the holidays come, we have to face the things that we were able to ignore all year long. Right? So whether it's like now I have to face my family and I don't want to. And some of y'all trying to figure out every way that you can get out of facing your family. Or it's that I'm facing maybe where I am in life and where I thought that I would be. The end of the year is a reflective time. And sometimes we're frustrated because what we thought we would have accomplished by the end of the year, we haven't gotten there. Can I tell you that a lot of times the things that you haven't accomplished is directly tied to your courage, because some of the things God gave you the opportunity to do, but you said no and you passed it up because it looked like a difficult process and you could have gotten there if you had a different response. Courage would have allowed you to overcome the stagnancy. Yeah. Courage would have allowed you to overcome the resistance. Courage would have allowed you to overcome the things that you allow to come every year. Every year, some of y'all have the same goals every year. I'm going to start naming them. I'm going to go to the gym more and lose some weight. I'm going to save more money. I'm gonna spend more time with my family. You ain't do none of them. I already know I'm gonna be aggravated with a lot of y'all the first 2 weeks of the year. Because we're gonna be in the gym and I'm gonna have to look for a parking spot dealing with you. You're gonna be on my treadmill that I like to get on. But if I only endure for 2 weeks, stop. This is not right today. But I got courage to tell you the truth. Amen. The truth is, you need to do something different. Let me get to these notes. Y'all ready to see Madea, right? Courage is a quality that will lead us to a successful holiday season and life, right? Now, I want to look at this movie. And, you know, how many of you have seen a Madea Christmas movie? Right. So Madea and the family, they go to this small town, you know, her niece Eileen, this small town, Buck, Tulsa. Now, just listen to that. Right. Right. So they're going to pay a surprise visit to Eileen's daughter, Lacey, who has refused to come home for Christmas. Right. And the reason that she's really refusing to come home for Christmas, because she really doesn't want her mama to know about her new boo. Right. And she really don't want her mama to know about her new boo because she knew her mama wasn't going to approve of the race of her new boo. This is a problem all in itself. I ain't going to even talk about that today. We do need to have conversations. Amen. So when they first get there, you know, Lacey's telling them that Connor's an employee and she does all this thing because out of a lack of courage, she begins to lie and she begins to try to create a world that wasn't real. And that's a message for many of you, because when you lack courage, you begin to lie to yourself and you begin to create situations that are not real. Some of you have told yourself that certain people don't like you, and that's just because you are insecure. So you walk into the atmosphere and you tell yourself, they don't like me. No, you don't like you. Can we hold up the mirror today? Can we get courageous enough to look at ourselves? Courage is finding the confidence in yourself to love yourself, to like yourself, to be okay with yourself. I know every week I'm getting y'all together now about learning to lean into you. I'm leaning into me right now. And I'm courageous enough to do it. And I know in leaning into me that I'm offending people. And can I tell you something? I don't care. I don't care. Because I'm going to be happy. I ain't going to be miserable sitting around waiting on me to be comfortable for you. You're going to get comfortable with what I'm doing. And if you're uncomfortable with it, you're going to figure out your own life. Because I got courage. And you need to get some. And a holy hush hit the room. This is a good time for Madea. Play the first clip.
Huh?
A little bit, yeah, but it's nice now. Showed up for his service, huh? We got one more to do, but they came for this. Isn't that just like the family that just show up and they like, I don't have to tell you, and I'm going through every room. Some of them, you be like, don't go in that one. It ain't clean yet, okay? But the first thing that I think that we need the courage to do in this holiday season is courage to tell the truth. Courage to tell the truth. There's no need for you to go home and being somebody you're not. There's no need for you to go home and lying about what you're actually doing. There's no need to go home and embellishing, you know, because some of y'all tell a little truth with a little extra. I know we like lane gap in the state of Louisiana, but we don't need the lane gap when we're telling the truth. Right? Courage to tell the truth. The Bible says in Ephesians, the 4th chapter, verse 15, instead, we will speak the truth, what? Growing in every way more and more like Christ, who is the head of his body, the church. Now, it is important that when you are telling the truth, that in love part is included. Because sometimes y'all just tell the truth in anger. Tell the truth in frustration. And we all get that way sometimes. One thing you'll find about me is that I try as much as possible not to be pulled into conversations where I have to have an immediate reaction to my emotion. So if I feel some kind of way, I try my best to not have to be in a conversation until I've had the opportunity to sort through my emotion. Now, I do that for my best interest and yours, too. Because the ratchet side of me begins to go, ooh, all kinds of. I was talking to Pastor Jetson this morning. I said, some people made me want to shake them. You know, that's how I be sometimes. You want to just. Y'all right? Y'all acting like y'all don't get that way, man. All my life I used to fight. I had to fight. I used to fight. And still will fight. Amen. I just fight devils now. If you happen to be one of them, amen. It takes courage to tell the truth because truth makes you vulnerable to the other person's feelings. Fear makes us lie to one another and causes a larger mess than is necessary or intended. The lie might get you through the moment, but it can't get you through the lifetime. So you might pass up a moment, but you are going to navigate through the mess at some point in time. And for some of you, I don't know why I keep going here today, but some of you, you really need the courage to tell yourself the truth. We lie to ourselves sometimes. I'm telling you, there are so many people that you have blamed for your life and nobody did that to you. You did. You being bitter and whether it's, if you're a man, you're blaming every woman. You know, if you're a woman, you're blaming every man. Talking about all these things that happen to you in relationships of people you selected. Tell yourself the truth. All five of them were your selection. This is the season of growing up. We mature in the body because we blame people and we don't like to accept the reality. And then when we don't like to have the courage to tell the truth, we get frustrated with those that tell us the truth. So when you run into somebody and they have to actually let you know the reality of yourself, then now you're mad because you didn't want to tell the truth. Then how dare them do it? They're not under any obligation to lie to you. People ask me my opinion. I'd be like, you really want to know? Now don't be getting all hurt when I tell you the truth because I'm going to tell it to you. Now I'm going to try to do my best to give it to you as good as I possibly can. But I can't always do the sandwich method. Sometimes there's nothing to say. We ain't got no bread. You're just getting this meat today. I was trying to find something good to mix it with. I didn't have any. Today, we're going to swallow this. In the movie, we see Lacey lie to her mother. Eileen lied to Lacey. Connor and Lacey and Connor's parents keep up the lie. Everybody just participating in the lie. Instead of dealing with the reality of what is the truth. When we lie to each other, we destroy trust. When we tell the truth, we build trust and mature into more of the image of Christ. I'm going to tell you, and this, I believe this is a lot of self-inspection today, but some of you really don't trust yourself because you haven't been honest enough with yourself about where you need to develop yourself. So the lack of courage you have is because you have not been able to build the capacity to overcome the things that you have had to face because you won't tell yourself the truth that you need to be developed. And when you tell yourself the truth, the development that you need, then you put yourself in a position to be developed. Wisdom is actually sitting under someone else's tutelage if you don't have the knowledge, if you don't have the experience. If you have not gotten a success, because just because you did it, if it didn't succeed, you ain't know what you was doing or you did it out of timing. Find somebody else who is succeeding and figure that thing out. Can I tell you something? I'm going to make him a little uncomfortable. But as successful as I have been in the things that I do, I sit with Pastor Jetson on a regular basis, at least once a month, to talk through the things that I'm navigating. How foolish of it would it be for me to ignore 23 years of pastoral experience? So I talk to him, and I tell him how crazy y'all are. And he does a good job at not letting you know, because he just hugged you just the same. But he helps me to sort through stuff, right?
That's good.
So it is wisdom to put yourself in a position where you can share truth and receive it. Sometimes he tells me, this is what I think you should do, you know? He never tries to force me to do anything, but he really gives me the truth of what he thinks I really need to hear. If you don't have anybody in your life who ever disagrees with you, your life is not built properly. Because what you're doing, either you've built a bunch of yes men, or you've carried yourself in a way where you've told people that you cannot be told the truth. And if you're not getting enough truth deposited in your life, you need to go back to the people in your life and say, what must I do to redirect this relationship so that I can hear the truth? Because if you aren't getting truth, you're not growing. And that's a good place for the second clip. Cutting up today.
You two need to learn how to respect my daughter's house.
I ain't got my head on.
They come here taking advantage of her eating her food.
Doctor, she's fucking her heart in her. Stop there. Doctor said it's dead.
Wait, what?
Yeah, they put one of them eyes up there and pull it out of the red ball. You need some of that prime Prosecco King City?
She's gonna live, baby. She's got that hot.
Well, that woman's pretty pissed off.
Amen. This is just how it is. When the truth starts coming out, it gets hectic. And the next thing that we have the courage to do, once we've had the courage to tell the truth, and notice that there's going to be a pattern of things that we've been hearing at the end of this year. I think that God has been consistent to propel us in the next year. But we have to have courage to sever fruitless relationships. You do not need to carry the baggage of people who are bringing unnecessary weight into your life into 2020. You don't even need to end 2019 with them having space in your life. Some of the freedom you need is to let people go. John 15 verses 1 through 2 says, I am the true grapevine and my Father is the what? Gardener. He cuts off every what? Branch of mine that doesn't produce, and he prunes the branches that do bear fruit so that they will what? Produce even more. It takes a lot of courage to sever fruitless relationships because it involves confrontation. In some instances, it's going to involve rejection and hurt feelings. And there could be this wrestling of knowing that you're no longer good for me, but I don't want to go through the process of ending this. Because sometimes, whether it was good or bad, when you are dealing with a relationship, the grief of the end can be hard. Even when you've learned to tolerate something that's not good for you. For example, right, we can have foods that we know are not good for us. And just severing the relationship between the things that we enjoy eating, even when we know they have damaging impact on us, when we get rid of them, our body responds to it. So you'll find even when you get rid of relationships that have been fruitless, your mind and your heart may respond, but you have to overcome the temporary withdrawal so that you can get to the healthier life. Relationships that are toxic, relationships that constantly weigh on your emotions, relationships that literally where there is not an equal investment in one another. If we're not both participating, we don't need to do this at all. What have you done for me? I don't care what you did. What are you doing? Because some of y'all are staying in relationships with friends, and we're in relationships with companions because of what they did for you. And you're holding on to the memory and you're not wanting to make sure that you are giving attention to the moment. Now, let me make this clear. I ain't telling y'all to go divorcing your spouse. You better honor the word on that. You going home and being like, you just been fruitless, you good for nothing. Y'all might just need some counseling. Amen. Because I'll be having to tell y'all, because y'all be going places like Pastor Rose said, listen. Then next thing you know, your spouse coming looking for me. What you and I'm still crazy. So if they come looking for me and with a crazy tone, we gonna have a crazy issue. Back in the word, amen. We gotta know, because sometimes we take things literal. When I talk about fruitless relationships, I'm not talking about the ones that you have a covenant with. Now, if you're in an abusive relationship, right, then it might be time. We're going to pause right there. Because it may be time for you to make that decision to sever that fruitless relationship. If your spouse keeps putting you through the same anguish over and over again, stepping outside of the relationship over and over, it may be time. But these friendships that have all this baggage, these long-term boyfriends and girlfriends that you waiting on them to marry you and you've been waiting for a decade and you think that you're married because you have your common law, it's time. There is no bondage. A fruitless relationship is one that either detracts from you instead of adding to you, or one that just takes up space. Even Jesus doesn't want fruitless relationships, so why should we?
That's good.
For time's sake, I'm going to keep moving. Can I do that? I know y'all like the funny clips, so we're going to keep moving. The third one, courage to overcome bitterness with contentment. This is your decision, and this will take work. You have to make a decision that you're going to overcome bitterness. Discontent people will constantly be bitter. I was talking to somebody last week or the week before, I can't remember. And we were having a conversation, and I had to have that courage to tell the truth. And I told the individual, I said, you need to deal with your discontentment. Your discontentment has nothing to do with anybody else. Not me, not this person, not that person. You have discontentment issues. Yeah. And what I've seen is no matter where you are, it shows up. It's time to deal with yourself. Your frustration is you. You got to uproot that. When you cannot find happiness in every situation, you are the one in every situation, and it is you. Your job got you miserable. Your spouse got you miserable. Your children got you miserable. The church got you miserable. You are miserable. And a lot of people don't have the courage to tell you that they tired of you. First Timothy 6:6. But godliness actually is a source of great gain when accompanied by contentment. That contentment which comes from a sense of what? Inner confidence based on the what? Sufficiency of God. Contentment requires courage because you get concerned that the circumstances may never change. However, contentment is the opposite of bitterness. When I get courage, then I look at my circumstance and I say that I have the power to make adjustments. That although I see this momentarily, this is not going to be what my life is going to look like forever. I have the courage to overcome this. I have the courage to move over it. I have the courage to push it out of the way. I have the courage to do my work. But what I won't do is blame it on everybody else. Bitterness is not something that can be assigned to you. It's something you take on. I cannot deliver bitterness to you. You make a choice to receive bitterness. Bitterness is the state of discontentment that results from what? Unfavorable circumstances. So when we look in this, we see some bitter people. We see Eileen is bitter. Now, she bitter towards all white people because her husband left her for a white woman. How crazy is that? Then she lying because she embarrassed about what happened when she could have just moved on with her life. Right? This is not where your life needs to be. Contentment says God is enough and God will provide. The fourth thing is you must have courage to forgive. The Bible says this in Ephesians, the fourth chapter, verses 31 and 32. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, harsh words, and slander, as well as all types of evil behavior. Instead, be kind to each other, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, just as God through Christ has forgiven you. Forgiveness demands courage because you may get hurt again. When I forgive, I make a decision to extend grace. Now, forgiveness does not always mean that I have to allow you back. Sometimes we forgive and move on. I forgive you and I wish you the best. I know that I've forgiven when I can sincerely wish you the best. And I wish you the best over there. Be encouraged. I'm going over here. You go over there, I forgive you, be encouraged. You have, bitter people need forgiveness from everyone that they interact with as well. This is why you got to learn how to forgive, because you need forgiveness. Because when you are bitter, you have almost certainly been abusive to people in environments that you've gone into because of your bitterness. You have projected that onto people, and they have encountered unnecessary abuse from you because you did not heal. So some of you need to forgive, and you need to go ask to be forgiven. You need to say, I'm sorry for the times that I came in this space and I handled you the wrong way because I did not deal with my stuff. I'm sorry for every word that I spoke over you that was not the truth because I was wrestling with my own discontentment. I'm sorry for my abusive tone, and when I didn't know how to slow down so that I could get my words out the right way, I realized that I did not handle you properly, and I am sorry that my bitterness got the best of me, but I will be better. I ask for your forgiveness. The last thing is courage to love. Remind you can come. 1 John 4:18 says, such love has no fear, because perfect love expels all fear. If we are afraid, it is for fear of punishment. And this shows that we have not fully experienced His perfect love. To love is to live in courage, because there is no more vulnerable state of being. Fear lies to us. It tells us that punishment is imminent. Who will punish you, though, for loving others? God ain't gonna punish you. Others won't punish you for loving them. Now, sometimes you got to consider where you distribute your love. It's your responsibility to be responsible with where it goes. You can love everybody, but you don't have to love everyone close. I can love you and still dictate where you come in my space. And so when I manage my heart properly, then I put it in the best position for success. I'm not talking about unnecessary walls, because if you can't love anybody, something's wrong. But I am talking about heart management. If you can do anything better in 2020, I think that relational management, relational success is something that everyone needs to evaluate in their lives. How have I designed my life? Have I designed it in a way that produces the maximum results for me? And if it does not, then I need to make some changes. Courage for you is a lot more with what you have to do with yourself than what you have to do with others. Can we stand on our feet in this place?